The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today. This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka. I'm very excited to introduce our guest host for today, Boris Epstein.
Thank you, my friend. It is great to be the guest host of America First with Sebastian Gorka. I am Boris Epstein, and we are in our last hour. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. Time flies when you're having a blast. We've got a jam-packed last hour for you. We've got Doug Wardlow coming up. He's running against the extreme leftist, hateful Keith Ellison for Minnesota Attorney General. Then we have Patrick O'Donnell talking some history with you soon. Everything is going gangbusters here in America First with Sebastian Gorka, with me, Boris Epstein, guest hosting. We've got phone calls later. The phone lines are going to be open at 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. We have with us now, not the Republican nominee for Attorney General of Minnesota, Republican candidate, and safely to say will be the nominee for Attorney General of Minnesota, Doug Wardlow. Doug Wardlow is born and raised in Minnesota, and he is also, just like yours truly, a double Hoya. Georgetown undergrad, Georgetown law, and now running against the awful, terrible, no good Keith Ellison. Doug, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Boris. It's wonderful to be on with you today.
Well, Doug, listen, I've only got one bone to pick with you. I didn't quite get the magna cum laude from Georgetown University. I was just a lowly cum laude. So, you know, I'm embarrassed by that, but I am honored that you would take time to join me today to talk about everything that's going on. And great to talk to a fellow double Hoya.
Great to talk to a fellow double Hoya as well. Absolutely. I won't hold that against you. And yeah, it's great to be on. There's a lot going on here in Minnesota and, of course, cross country.
Why are you running against Keith Ellison? You came close last time, but now you're doing it again. You're going all in. Why are you running against the leftist extremist Keith Ellison for Minnesota Attorney General?
So many reasons. We did come very close last time, within about 3.5%. So we came so close to victory in a very difficult year for Republicans, 2018, up against strong headwinds. I actually got more Republican votes than any Republican candidate has ever received in a midterm election in the state of Minnesota for any office. So we got a strong base of support, and we're launching from that base of support to win the office of Attorney General here in Minnesota and retire Keith Ellison from politics. And that's critical because Keith Ellison is a national leader of the radical left. He's a political leader who wants to weaken our country. He wants to weaken our state and our country. And he has given rise to a culture of lawlessness in this state. And that's really the number one reason I'm running. We need to restore law and order in Minnesota. You know, after the George Floyd death last summer, we saw riots across Minneapolis and St. Paul and then spreading across the country from here. And Keith Ellison, he stood back and he did nothing. He watched as our cities burned. And he allowed that chaos to continue. He should have been prosecuting those responsible, investigating and prosecuting those who are fomenting violence, those who are behind the riots, the people coming into the state, members of domestic terror groups like Antifa. He did none of that. He's been focused on a war against the police. And that's not surprising because Keith Ellison is a person who has been anti-police for his entire career. You know, he's an acolyte of Louis Farrakhan, the head of the terrible anti-Semitic Nation of Islam, right?
Disgusting.
And that right there disqualify him.
As a proud Jew, I will tell you that there's very few things that scare me more in America than the emergence of Keith Ellison, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and other anti-Semites and their election to the senior controlling offices, Minnesota Attorney General, members of the House serving on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, such as Ilhan Omar is now doing while calling Israel an apartheid state. And Keith Ellison was sort of, you know, he was sort of the advance of all this, right? He came along way before Ilhan Omar and before Rashida Tlaib, before Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Keith Ellison came on the scene. He was the forebearer of this rise of anti-Semitism on the left. I call it the anti-Semitic caucus, and it is nothing but scary. And the fact that this horrible human being, an acolyte of Louis Farrakhan, somebody who's lied about his relationship with Farrakhan, said, I don't know Farrakhan. And now there's pictures of them hanging out within the last several years. Okay? Right. Somebody who's lied about his relationship with the hateful anti-Semite Louis Farrakhan, who said that he's not an anti-Semite, he's anti-termite. He wants to exterminate me, my son, my family. And you know what? Let him try. Because Louis Farrakhan, Keith Ellison, and other hateful anti-Semites, they're going to be met with the fire and fury they could never even imagine. And Doug, it's God bless you for running against Ellison. Tell us this. What are the top three things that you will do differently from Keith Ellison when you're the attorney general?
Well, number one, we need to restore law and order. So we're actually going to rebuild the criminal law division of the office. We're going to go after violent criminals. You know, violent crime in Minneapolis and in St. Paul is skyrocketing. In the last month or so, we've had 3 children shot in Minneapolis, and tragically, terrible. 2 of them have died. That is completely unacceptable, beyond unacceptable. So we need to staff up the criminal law division. We need to prosecute those folks that are violating the law and then put them behind bars. It's not good enough just to arrest folks and then release them. We need to actually prosecute them,
right,
put them behind bars. And so that's the number one thing. We need to support law enforcement as well, and that's critical. Secondly, we need to protect their constitutional rights, and that's critically important. We need to lift the burden of the administrative state off the people of Minnesota. And thirdly, election integrity. So vitally important. You know, it's important that we get to the bottom of what happened on November 3rd. We need to make sure that the elective franchise is functioning properly so it can properly transmit sovereignty from the people down to our government officials, and so that we don't have destabilization of our entire government, because this is a representative republic. If people don't trust that elections are working properly, then they won't trust that the laws are being passed by the right people, and that undermines the legitimacy of the law itself and threatens the rule of law. So there could be no bigger issue. So we're going to use the Office of the Attorney General as it was meant to be used, to enforce the law. And that means investigating and prosecuting those who violate our election laws, investigating and prosecuting voter fraud. And we will send a strong message that if you commit voter fraud in Minnesota, you will go to jail.
You heard earlier in the show, we had State Senator Doug Mastriano from Pennsylvania. Now the audit, the freight train of audits, as I love to call it, is coming to Pennsylvania. It's already in Arizona. The audit is ongoing there. They're getting to the bottom of what happened. So let me ask this key question. Do you, Doug Wardlow, support full forensic audits of the 2020 election in the key battleground states of Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and if need be, in Minnesota?
Absolutely. We absolutely need to do that because, like I said, we need to protect the functioning of the elective franchise. We need to make sure that people have confidence that election outcomes are accurate. So let's get to the bottom of what happened. Let's do these detailed forensic audits and find out whether there was fraud. And there are certainly massive indicia of fraud. And the results, the preliminary results kind of trickling out of Arizona show that. And once we see those results, I think there will be calls to audit a lot of other states, including right here in Minnesota. You know, Minnesota has something of a tradition of voter fraud. You know, the Norm Coleman-Al Franken race back in 2008.
That.
You know, it was very close the night of the election, and you know, down to several hundred votes in favor of Norm Coleman. And then the next day or sometime thereafter, they found some ballots in the trunk of a car, and Democrats sent their lawyers in, and all of a sudden, Al Franken eked out a victory. So there were definitely irregularities in that election, and that was back in 2008. And then, you know, Project Veritas had video they found of they actually obtained and released, and the mainstream media just kind of looked the other way, of a cash for ballot scheme linked to Ilhan Omar.
You know, of course.
A strong ally of Keith Ellison. And of course, Ilhan Omar is now the congresswoman in the district that Keith Ellison used to represent in Minneapolis. And that, you know, strong evidence of a cash for ballot scheme, a video of a person driving in a car bragging about all the ballots he was harvesting and collecting and how he was giving money for these ballots. So there are definitely indicia of fraud, and we need to get to the bottom of what we need to make sure that our elections are secure. And so we need to do that right now with audits. And then when I'm elected attorney general, we're going to make sure that our election laws are enforced.
What are you hearing on the ground, Doug? What are you hearing from people who may have voted for Keith Ellison in 2018, What do you think their position is? Does someone regret it? How do you see this race going from here until Election Day next year?
I'm traveling all over the state, and people are fed up with Keith Ellison. They're fed up with the Democrats that are in charge of this state. They have watched as our cities have burned, and Keith Ellison has done nothing. They have watched human trafficking rampant across our state. They're watching as drug crime skyrockets across the entire state. People are against this culture of lawlessness. They want to feel safe in their homes, in their neighborhoods. They want to feel safe sending their kids to school. They want to make sure that their kids come back safely from school to the extent that schools are open, right? So people are turning against Keith Ellison, and people are standing up for freedom and for the rule of law in a big way. And so this campaign is about law and order. It's about so much more than just making Minnesota safe again, though. It's also about our founding principles. It's about freedom. It's really about whether Minnesotans and Americans are going to rally to the cause of freedom and the cause of the rule of law, or cede control of our great country to people like Keith Ellison who want to destabilize it and transform it into something sinister and unrecognizable. And I have confidence, talking to people all across this state, that people are rising up, and they will choose the rule of law. They will choose freedom. They are rallying to the cause of our founding principles.
Doug, how can the listeners of this show, the viewers, how can they find you? How can they follow? How can they support you in your drive to oust the hateful leftist anti-Semite Keith Ellison as Minnesota Attorney General, and for you, Doug Wardlow, to be the next Attorney General of Minnesota? How can they find you?
So go to Doug Wardlow AG, standing for Attorney General, DougWardlowAG.com, and you can find out a lot more about the race there, and you can contribute and sign up to volunteer. And of course, this is a national race because Keith Ellison is a national leader of the radical left, former deputy chair of the Democratic National Committee. We must remove Keith Ellison and take back the Attorney General's office here in Minnesota, not for one party or the other, but for the cause of the rule of law.
God bless you, Doug. God bless in your run, and we'll be right back.
Relief Factor. Have you tried every other form of pain relief only to fail and not find your answer? Well, try this incredible product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, including Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. It should be you. Find out today the only way you can by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Call them at 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Boris Epstein.
The Baron is here. We only have 40 minutes left. I can't believe it. It seems like it's only been 20 seconds, but it's already been almost 2.5 hours. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka. I am Boris Epstein. I am your guest host today. And for those of you who haven't had enough, and I hope it's all of you, we're crushing it on Rumble, by the way. They're telling me that some of the best numbers yet, maybe the best Rumble numbers in the show's history or close to that. We're crushing it. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm guest hosting again from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. And in the first hour from 3 to 4, we have the one and only Stephen K. Bannon with me for a whole hour. We're going to be talking about audits, the freight train of audits. We'll be talking about Wuhan. We'll be talking about 3 November 2020, 2022. And we're going to talk about 2024. In the last hour, we're going to take some calls, 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. We're on Rumble at rumble.com/SebGorka. Make sure to go there. And right now with me, we have Patrick O'Donnell, another American hero. He was a combat historian in Marine Rifle Platoon during the Battle of Fallujah. He often speaks on espionage, special operations, and counterinsurgency. He's a best-selling, critically acclaimed military historian and an expert on elite units His latest book is The Indispensables. He'll talk to us all about it. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Great to be back with you, Boris. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So, The Indispensables. Let's go to the videotape. What's the story?
The story is about our precious founding. And that right now, as you know, is under assault for a variety of reasons. And that's why this book is relevant. This book has many elements of current events in it right now as we speak. The opening chapters of this book begin in 1773-74, where a virus hits the town of Marblehead, Massachusetts, and it's weaponized. The town is divided politically between patriots and loyalists. It's really an amazing story of how a virus changes life in Marblehead and literally changes the course of the American Revolution as well. And what happens is my main characters try to build what's known as an inoculation hospital. And that at that time, the science wasn't very firm, but inoculation was one way to combat the disease. And they built the hospital, but the loyalists in the town weren't having it. And they organized a mob of men and they burned it to the ground with people inside. And, I mean, miraculously, nobody died, but the perpetrators of that act were then rounded up by the local sheriff, and the loyalists in the town had a massive mob of over 1,000 people assault the jail with axes and crowbars, and they freed the men, and then they went after the main characters of my book. Their homes were surrounded by the mob. I mean, it's really pretty amazing stuff. The main character in my book is John Glover, and he had a very unique way of sort of dealing with the situation. He knew the mob was coming, and it's a get off your front lawn moment. He wheels a 4-pound cannon into the foyer of his home, and when the mob shows up, he orders the doors on his house thrust open, and he has a lighted torch in his hand, and he orders them to disperse, which they do. But this book is about the Marblehead Regiment and the men that literally shaped our country, formed the Navy, and rode Washington across the Delaware. The reason why it's relevant is we wouldn't even be on this radio show as part of the United States had it not been for their actions.
That's right. That's right. What spurred you, what caused you to write this story? You've written a lot of books. We Were One, Shoulder to Shoulder with the Marines Who Took Fallujah, required reading for the Marines, and appeared on the Commandant's Professional Reading List. What made you write The Indispensables?
It's about our founding, and I had our founding story is absolutely precious. You know, I've interviewed 4,000 World War II veterans over the course of the last 30 years, and you know, Brokaw said to me, said that was the greatest generation. I remember asking one of those members, Lester Kness, who is a Ranger with Darby's Rangers. He's like, I said to him, "Are you the greatest generation?" He said, "Absolutely not, Pat. The greatest generation is the generation that the Revolutionary War generation." And he's right, because they changed the world, Boris. They changed the world with their actions. It's a small group of men, in many cases, and women, that had to go up against the greatest army of the world at the time, the greatest Navy. And what most people don't realize is they went against their fellow Americans, because half the country was divided. It was our first Civil War. This generation changed the world. And the values and ideals that we have today come from that generation. It's something we should be very proud of.
Well, Patrick, I'll tell you that in my family, my grandfather was a World War II veteran, fought against the Nazis. You know, he was in the Soviet Union at the time, and the Red Army fought against Nazi Germany bell to bell, June 1941, May 1945, and then was on his way to Japan, actually, to fight against the Japanese Imperial Army when Hiroshima and Nagasaki were bombed and the war ended. So, you know, I'm never going to argue with someone who says that is the greatest generation. My grandfather was a wonderful man and a true hero. But I think what you're saying makes perfect sense, that those men who fought for freedom in America, fought for our rights, fought for this country to be what is the beacon that it is. You know, Sebastian and I are both immigrants. We're zero generation, right? Sebastian came as a young man. I came as a little kid. I was 11 years old, running away with my family from the rubble of the former Soviet Union, and my grandfather came with us. And my grandfather, again, World War II hero, fought the Nazis, saw it all. He loved this country. For the 10 years he lived here, from 1993 to 2003, he loved America like nothing he's ever loved before. He loved America because of the spirit of this country, the welcoming of this country, because of the openness that this country should have, has at its bones, but is struggling with right now. And as you, Patrick, are writing about our founding, and you're comparing it to what's happening today, how concerned are you about the leftist extremist mob that's descending upon America?
I'm deeply concerned, Boris, about the values and ideals that were formed in the revolution are in many cases our history. There's attempts to rewrite it, and this is unacceptable because the founding story is a great story. I mean, it's not something we have to show it warts and all, but this is a story of extraordinary story of sacrifice, of resilience against all odds. This shouldn't have. It's a miracle that we won that war. And what I see now is people taking that generation for granted. The sacrifices that they made are just taken for granted. Oh, that would have, it was preordained that we were going to win the American Revolution. Absolutely not. It's a miracle we won the American Revolution because it was a civil war as well as a war against the Great Britain. And it was a global war. I mean, it's an incredible, the American Revolution changes world history. And it's one revolution after another that follows it. It's the spirit and ideals that America is founded on. It's a bedrock principle that changes the world.
Very well put. Patrick, we are coming up to the end of the segment. Would love for you to stay over into the next segment. We have lots left to discuss. Patrick O'Donnell, best-selling, critically acclaimed military historian, expert on elite units. His latest book, you've got to get it. It's called The Indispensables. We'll talk to Patrick O'Donnell a little more in the next segment, and then we'll take some calls. 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. Call us, also rumble.com/Seb Gorka. God bless. Be right back.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. This is Boris Epstein, your guest host today, and your guest host tomorrow, 3 to 6. We're going to have Steve Bannon from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern on this show. Make sure to tune in. We are on Rumble, rumble.com/Seb Gorka, and our phone lines are going to be open in the next segment, 833-334-6752, 833-334-6752. Gorka, we're back with Patrick O'Donnell, best-selling, critically acclaimed military historian, expert on elite units. His latest book is The Indispensables. The Indispensables. Make sure to get it wherever you buy books. Patrick, let me ask you this question. You're a historian, somebody who's really knows America and world history inside and out. They say that hegemonies come and go, right? Where are we in the history, in the spectrum of American leadership around the world? You didn't think we were going to get to deep questions question. Like this. We're getting academic here, Patrick, okay? It's the last hour.
I mean, look,
we're going deep.
This is a situation where we have great internal division, and that is a problem. This is the United States. That's not something that – We have to be very careful about that because we have a lot of adversaries, including the CCP and others.
The Chinese Communist Party, that's right, Tehran.
It's a very dangerous situation where people can miscalculate. And so I think we have to be very careful and always be vigilant and always be prepared. I think that leaving Bagram Air Force Base in the middle of the night is not really something a superpower does. It didn't feel right. I mean, leaving Afghanistan, strategically, that is probably the right move. But I don't think the way we went about it was probably the right way to do it. I think we have to constantly remain vigilant.
What's interesting, Patrick, on Afghanistan, I wrote a piece for Newsweek 2 months ago now comparing Joe Biden, the artist formerly known as Joe Biden, as I like to call him, to the latter leaders of the former Soviet Union, right, to Brezhnev, to Andropov, to Chernenko, not Gorbachev, but to those old leaders who were decrepit, who Ronald Reagan said you couldn't negotiate with them because they kept dying on them. And Joe Biden is that level of decrepit, and he did in Afghanistan what the former Soviet Union did in Afghanistan, just crept out. And that was the very end of that empire. And I'm not saying that America is going to come crashing down. I'm not. I love America. I'm going to fight for America till my dying breath. America is a country that gave me, my parents, my grandparents, my family, unbelievable opportunity. And I'm so thankful for my mom and dad deciding to come to this beautiful country from the rubble of the Soviet Union in 1993. You know, as a kid, I saw tanks roll through Moscow in 1991. And we came here in September of 93. Tanks were back in Moscow a couple of weeks after we left. But the point is that we have such a lack of leadership in this country now under Joe Biden. And such bad decisions are being made that I am fearful that we are on the precipice of the kind of disaster that faced the Soviet Union at its very end.
I certainly hope not. I think that the key, though, if we look back at the Revolutionary War generation, and something that they really understood was power and how to control and disperse it. And this is something my main characters really understood. They were the true founders. In many cases, the ideals of liberty stem from men like Elbridge Gerry. And, you know, he really understands the power and the power of a central government, which he wanted to disperse and make sure that there were checks and balances. And this really is something that applies today, especially. I mean, where we have power being concentrated in the hands of a few. And that's a very dangerous thing. And, you know, I think that we can really learn much from the founders and what they, you know, what they were trying to, what they created, you know, in with hardly anything. They created an incredible country.
That's right. A beautiful country.
And one of the greatest things that occurred is leadership. You know, leadership was so solid. It's statesmanlike. I mean, look at George Washington. I mean, this is a man that, you know, overcame. I bring him out in the Indispensables because if the Indispensables were the indispensable men of the Revolution, it was Washington who was the indispensable man of the Revolution. It wouldn't have occurred had not been for Washington. Overcame every possible, you know, setback. Able to change the strategy of the war midway. Was able to deal with alliances and hold the country together. But the greatest thing he did was resign at the end.
The American Cincinnati.
Turned over power. He turned over power to civilian control.
That's right.
Which is amazing.
Patrick, thank you so much.
He was the most powerful man in the world.
Patrick, latest book is The Indispensables. God bless you. Thanks for being with us. Good luck. You're spreading the right word. The book is The Indispensables. Patrick O'Donnell, thanks so much. God bless. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, hailing from the far reaches of the swamp, the righteous writer of wrongs, the triumphant teller of truths, this is the Baron Boris Epstein on America First.
This is the Baron doing the baronial wave. We are in the last 15 minutes of First with Sebastian Gorka today, July 7th, 2021, and we'll be back tomorrow on July 8th. 2021 with a packed show, including an hour with Stephen K. Bannon from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern. Make sure to tune in. We're on rumble.com, rumble.com/Seb Gorka. And right now, we're going to take a couple of calls. We're 833-33-GORKA, 833-33-GORKA. Eric, who do we have? We've got John on line one. John, what's up?
Boris Epstein, it's an honor, privilege, and pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks, John.
So, how are
it's
you?
It's Epstein, listen, but I'll forgive you.
Listen, would you watch a conservative version of Saturday Night Live or Jon Stewart? Would you do that? And why don't we have those? Why are those not available to us? Why has nobody ever thought to actually undertake producing those? And comedy just absolutely perpetually hammers the opposition, and the left has used that on us for years, for decades. And probably even swung a few elections.
Thank you, John. I actually agree with you. I think that comedy should be bipartisan. I think the Babylon Bee is absolutely hilarious. The Babylon Bee being sort of the conservative onion. I would answer your question, John, is I would watch anything that's funny. SNL has become not funny lately, so I don't watch it. I watch things that are funny. So if somebody wants to come up with conservative SNL, Saturday Night Live, conservative comedy, let's go. Let's have it. And I do think that there's a void, and I think somebody ought to be stepping into it. But the problem is the woke cancellation left and President Trump's action today in fighting against Twitter, Facebook, Google, fighting back, filing the class action is a big way of us getting back our rights, getting back our First Amendment. We've got Sarah from South Carolina online, too. Sarah, how are you?
Hi, Boris. It's wonderful to speak with you. God bless you. I just want to commend you for speaking truth.
So kind.
And being a light for us, you know, because America needs men like you, like Bannon, like Dr. Gorka, and so many men and women that we depend on, because they have the microphones. We don't. See what I'm saying?
And it's Sarah, like, that is so kind. I really appreciate you saying that, and I appreciate you listening to this show, to other shows. You know, there is so much strong voice out there, and I am thankful for that, for my good friend Dr. Gorka, for Steve Bannon, for Dan Bongino, and others who are out there fighting. But it is because of you, people like you, Sarah, the MAGA movement, the MAGA brain trust, the MAGA posse. It is you, the audience, the listeners, who makes this possible. So we're actually thankful to you, not just for the kind words, but for continuing to stay strong.
Thank you so much. And I do want to just say one little thing. We realize that the greatest tool and weapon that we have is our voices.
That's
we
right.
have been created like our Creator to speak. And that is the first thing the enemy fights against, is
that's
does
right.
not want us to speak. So that's where our battle is. As long as we have an open forum, as long as we can share our thoughts, then we are truly free. But once you stop people from speaking their mind and being creative, then you have locked down the country.
Well,
I just
right.
wanted to say that real quick.
That's right, Sarah. And thank you so much. Thanks for your strength. Thanks for listening, but also thanks for speaking up, taking the time to call, having your voice be heard. And to all of you, to all the audience, the listeners, the viewers, that is what's vital, to have your voice be heard. As Doug Mastriano said in Pennsylvania, let's make sure that when the time comes when Philadelphia County does not turn over the information, that the state senators on that Intergovernmental Operations Committee hear from you, the people of Pennsylvania, hear from their constituents that they better be issuing those subpoenas. Same thing in Georgia. Back up Brandon Beach. Back up Burt Jones. Back up Vernon Jones, who's running for governor and who's so focused on election integrity. Have your voices be heard in Arizona. Give your support to Gunny Sonny Borelli. Give your support to Karen Fan to keep the audit going, to keep fighting, to keep battling, to not back down to the mob of the woke left, the mob of mainstream media. Support your local, state, federal election officials who support and love you, who support and love this Constitution. We've got Dan in Minnesota. Dan, what's up?
Thank you, Boris. Love to hear you, and love to hear you on Steve Bannon. Great
appreciate
show.
It, my friend. Thanks so much.
You know, it's really, really a shame that a lot of the Salem hosts aren't even talking about November 3rd. They don't know the evidence. I would suspect they haven't even watched the absolute series
well,
by Mike Lindell.
Thank you, Dan. Here's what I'd say. I think that there's a lot of There are a lot of viewers out there. There are a lot of views out there. And the beauty of America is that people get to express their views. They get to express their views on the election. They get to express their views on the Constitution. And they get to be Democrats, conservatives, centrists, whatever they want. My problem is when voices are silenced. My problem is when conservatives are not allowed or free to speak their mind. My problem is when we are not allowed to talk about 3 November 2020. When we're not allowed to talk about the origins of the Wuhan virus. You know, for months and months and months, the mainstream media said, no, you can't even think about the fact that this may have come out of the Wuhan virology lab where they were working on coronaviruses. And John Stewart said this beautifully when he was on Colbert a couple of weeks ago. It's literally like saying, oh, I've got chocolate all over me and I was at Hershey, but you know what? It's not because of the Hershey chocolate factory. Very clear, very well put by a comedian, but somebody who cuts through, somebody who gets it. So my issue is this. Let us all speak free. Let us all speak loudly, but allow us to speak. Do not hold us down, because if you do, we will fight back. President Trump is fighting back with his lawsuit. Americans are pushing back by pushing that freight train of audits across the country from Arizona to Georgia to Pennsylvania, then Wisconsin, Michigan, and beyond. We'll be right back.
News and talk radio is still really popular, even in the internet age. What you are about to hear them say is mind-boggling.
Here's looking at you, Snowflake. America first.
Brian Stelty Stelter. He published a book. Nobody bought it. He's got a show where he whines and cries about President Trump. Nobody watches. He's a pathetic little guy. That's Brian Stelter. And that's a cynical, hypocritical network. CNN used to be a news network. Now it's a clown network. That's what CNN is. Well, friends, it is 5:55. I've got less than 3 minutes left with you today, but I am back with you tomorrow. I'm back with you tomorrow, and we are going to have a packed show. It's going to be a great show. Steve Bannon, 3 to 4 o'clock. We should have Vernon Jones. We're going to have other key newsmakers from all across the country talking to you. It is such an honor for me to be here. Such an honor for me to guest host America First for my good friend MAGA champion Sebastian Gorka, and specifically to do it today. Why today? Because of the major news that was announced in Pennsylvania and the groundbreaking lawsuit being filed by President Trump, our 45th and 47th president, hopefully 47th president, of the United States, lawsuit, class action lawsuit filed against Twitter, against Google, against Facebook, and their CEOs personally. So this is no longer just a corporate fight. Now it's personal. Because we know that these corporate social media giants and their CEOs did all they could to get the artist formerly known as Joe Biden elected as president. But you know what? President Trump isn't not taking it. He's not sitting back. He's fighting. And that is exactly what I want to talk to you about in these last 90 seconds. I want to talk to you, this audience, the MAGA power, the MAGA brain trust, the MAGA movement. I want to talk to you about continuing to stand strong. You have withstood so much. An assault from mainstream media. An assault from Democrats. An assault from establishment Republicans. A pandemic unleashed on us from China. How? Well, we're getting to the bottom of that. You have withstood so much. An election that I believe was stolen. I'm going to say it right now. There was a rampant election fraud, and we know that for a fact. And still, you, the MAGA movement, the MAGA brain trust, the MAGA posse, you're standing strong, and I'm so proud to be a humble voice for that. So proud to be here to talk about the freight train of audits that's going from Arizona to Pennsylvania to Georgia to Michigan, then to Wisconsin and all across the country. And I humbly thank you for continuing to stand strong. humbly thank you for continuing to fight. And I know that my good friend Sebastian Gorka thanks you. And I know that the 45th and hopefully 47th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, is so thankful to you too. God bless all of you. Stay strong. And I'll see you tomorrow, 3 o'clock Eastern. Have a great day. Have a great night. God bless all of you. Signing off, this is Boris Epstein on America First.